Now, the well-being is expressed. You don't hear somebody that's really in a great vibration. You say, hi, how are you? And they,
I'm really excited.
You know, they don't do that. You see it in the way they walk. You see it in the way they talk. You see it the way they meet and greet people. They're alive and they know it. That turns to acceleration. They're picking up speed. This is the way the universe operates. You know why? Because they're at ease. They're not uptight. The person that's anxious and depressed, their body is, it's no wonder their heart snaps. Take your fist and clench it tight, see how long you can keep it that way. That's the way some people's bodies are. Well, you want to put your body in a totally relaxed state, and then this power flows freely through you. No kinks in the hose. And I'm going to tell you, you'll have lots of juice flowing, and you're going to feel like $1 million, and you become very creative. And that's called creation. You see? Now, what do you think about? What do you spend your time thinking about? Most people spend their time thinking about just whatever's going on around them on a given period of time. Now, we say to ignore the power of paradigms to influence your judgment is to put yourself at risk when exploring the future. This idea of paradigms, you've got to understand it. You want to get back into that stick person. Can you change your paradigms? Yeah, you sure can. Yeah, you sure can. And you see, when you know you can change your paradigms, you have hope. See, I was controlled. I was unhappy, sick, and broke, and I was lost. I had no hope. Why? Well, I just couldn't see how it could happen. You know what Ray gave me? He gave me hope. And you know what happens when you have hope? That means that you have options.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Now, what a difference. I love this. What a different story people would have to tell if they would adopt a definite purpose and stand by that purpose until it had time to become an all-consuming obsession. I love that book. I truly love it. Most people are extras in their own movie. They really are. You know, it's sad. They write the script. They're the casting agent. They're the director. They're the producer. They're the executive producer. They do the whole deal. And they give themselves maybe a walk-on, maybe a line if they're really gregarious. But most of them just stand there and they look at the stars. They think, God, I wished I could do that. We could do anything. Anything we want. See, what we want to do is say, what do I really want? Not what do I think I can do? What can I afford? What do I want? Life is not a practice run, you know. You're not going to get another bite at the apple. This is the deal. This is it. I remember one time we were down in Atlanta on a speaking engagement when I worked with the Nightingale Corporation. And Earl got up and slowly started to move across the room. And somebody said, what are you doing? He said, I was just thinking, that's the way most people go through life. They tiptoe through life, hoping they make it safely to death. It's true. That's the way most people live. We want to step out and do the thing we really love. Now, here's a lesson for you on goals that is absolutely incredible. So you'll want to remember it. Most people, when they're setting goals, they set goals to do what they know how to do. That way it's safe. They're going sideways, but it's safe. You remember we talked about the level of awareness, how you reach? We said goals are to cause you to stretch. That's the purpose. The goal isn't to accumulate. You go, money's not to accumulate. I never have enough money. Never. Do you know why? I'm always doing something beyond where I'm at. That's what keeps me growing. I want to extend what I'm doing. I want to get another deal going. And everybody said, gee, Bob, why don't you slow down? I want to do it. And so you've got, and then you've got to attract more, you see? You've got to keep going. Quit going after things you know how to do. Now, understand this. People do not resist change. They don't. Do you know what people resist? Being changed. See, if I try and force change on you, the wall comes down. But if you decide to change, no problem. We say people resist change. They really don't. They resist being changed. Now, let me tie this into that. You hang out with people that you're comfortable with. You're on the same frequency as them. What we say feeling was conscious awareness of vibration. So you hang out with people that are in the same vibration as yourself. If you're miserable, you're not happy with happy people. You got to be with miserable people. If you're happy, you're not happy with miserable people. You got to be with happy people. You don't find the big producers hanging out with the little producers. And you don't find the little producers hanging out with the big producers. You don't find rich people living in the slums. You don't find people that have no money living in where rich people live. You are attracted to people who are in harmony with you. That's the law of attraction. That's the way it works. Like energy attracts like energy. Now, the people you're mixing with, if you're setting goals to do how you know how to do, that's where they're at. Now, when you go to move ahead and you say, I'm going to go after something bigger and better. And as you go after it, they don't want you to. If you gave them a polygraph and really sucked the truth out of them, they want you to win, but they don't want you to leave. Do you know why? They would have to adapt to your absence. They don't want to do that. They don't want you to leave. Do they want you to win? Yeah, but they don't want you to leave, and you can't win if you don't leave. You're thinking, geez, this is true. You can relate to this. Now, we're going to stretch. We're going to go after what I think I can do. And we get our slide rule out and we get the whole deal and we get the plan. You got to have a plan. Wharton teaches you got to have a plan. Harvard, you got to have a plan. So we get this plan. Then we go down to the office place and we get a folder and we print it out on our color computers and we got our pie charts and our graphs. And yet it's all in color. We got a plan. Man, are we proud of our plan. But you know something? We don't go anywhere. You know why? No inspiration. Here we're going after something we think we can do. God, we're stretching, but there's no inspiration. And there's no support. The person that you're leaving isn't going to support you. And you're not inspired because you're just doing what you think you can do. You got the plan, though. But the plan ain't going to do you any good. It just won't work. Now, if you go after what you want, you're going to fantasize. And you've been taught that's a no-no. When you were a little tiny girl or boy, you could fantasize. The mom would just leave you there and let you play with the pots and pans, and you did all kinds of great things with them, and you were fantasizing. But when you went to school, the teacher come down, pay attention. You were being bad. You weren't paying attention. Your mind was wandering. You left the room. You left your body there. But man, you're on a trip. And they punished you. Now, you don't have to punish a person for so long, they'll stop doing whatever it is that they're doing to get punished for. So now we have these great big companies, and we got little wee creative departments. Why? We don't want people to be fantasizing. Fantasy is where everything started. This building was nothing but a fantasy at one time. Somebody got the idea of putting a whole bunch of theaters under one roof. They said it'll never work. So we go from what we know we can do to what we think we can do, but there's no inspiration. And so we go back to what we know we can do. And we get bored there, and we go back to what we think we can do, but there's no inspiration, no support, so we go back to what we know we can do. You see? And that's the end of the story. We're all screwed up, and we don't win. You see? But the seminar said, choose a goal. I choose the goal. It's what I thought I could do. Got to play it safe. You got to be realistic. This realistic jazz is for the purds. All right? Look here. There's the three stages of creating the life you want. And if you want to go after what you want, you got to fantasize. So you start out here and you build a fantasy. And you see yourself doing what you want. Doesn't matter how you're going to do it, you build the fantasy. You see the picture. Doesn't matter where the money is. Now you got to turn that fantasy into a theory. Before you can turn it into a goal, you've got to pass a test. The theory, now it's an idea in our conscious mind. We're really putting our higher faculties to work on it. But we've got to pass a test. We've got to ask, am I able to do this? If all things are possible, if this is an orderly universe, and if we have all the power within us, yes, I'm able to do it. Don't know how, haven't got the foggiest idea, up to here in debt, don't know where the money's coming, but yes, I'm able to do it. The second question, am I willing? Am I willing what? Am I willing to pay the price? If you're not prepared to pay the price, you don't deserve the reward. I remember my wife started her own business and she was over her head. And I would go into the bedroom. Sometimes she'd actually get into bed and get under the covers and pull them over her head. She literally did that. And I went and I said, what the hell are you doing? I'm scared. No. Well, what are you scared of? I don't know. Well, I said, why don't you quit? Well, then she'd get angry and she'd end up and away she'd go. You see? And now she's got to the point where a little bit of fear doesn't bother her anymore. Now, did I do the same thing? Well, I didn't get in bed and hide under the covers. But God, I used to pull the drapes. Ooh, it was terrible. Am I willing? You've got to be willing to pay the price. If you're not willing to pay the price, you don't deserve the reward. You've got to be willing to come to these meetings. You've got to be willing to invest in the programs. You've got to be willing to do that. If you're not, you don't deserve the reward. Now, the second you answer yes to those questions, now you've got a goal and you want to impress it upon the universal subconscious mind. And when you do, the entire universe comes to your aid. That may sound like a bizarre statement, but I'm going to tell you, if I had a year to explain it, I could break it all down. That's exactly what happens. If you have to attract somebody from China, you'll attract them. We're not in this room by accident. You know, we're all supposed to be here right now. You're always in the right place for the right reason at the right time. And that idea will begin to move into form, and it'll turn into what we call a fact. And when you've done that, then you're in the position to build bigger and better fantasies, and that's called a creative process. You don't have to know how you're going to do it. You only have to know you're going to do it. So here's the deal. You start out and you fantasize. You see it. You believe it. And you do it. How do you think that guy got up that wall? You think when he was standing at the bottom, he knew every step he was going to take to get to the top? Not on your Nelly, did he? He knew that he was going to get to the top of the wall. And he said, I'll put this pick in here, and I'll put this one in here. I'll bring this foot up here and this one up here. That's the first step. He adapted to the change in his condition, circumstance, environment, and then he picked the next step. And that's how he got right to the top of the wall. And that's how Hillary got to the top of the mountain. And that's how Edison built the light bulb. And that's how the Wright brothers got the plane off the ground. And that's how we built the internet. And you want to know something? That's how you're going to create the life you want, a step at a time. Yet you're always going where you don't know, and it's scary. But I believe if you're not living on the edge, you're taking up too much room. You know? You got to know where you're going, and you got to know you're going to get there. Isn't that how we did it? Do you know what Dr. Wernher von Braun said when John Kennedy asked him what it would take to build a rocket to the moon? He said, the will to do it. That was it. Nightingale said that success is the progressive realization of a worthy ideal. You got to have an idea that you really want. It's got to be big and so all-consuming that you don't have time to listen to the ne'er-do-wells. You don't have time to listen to the people that don't have time to live. You see? What do you really want? Now get this. Praxis is the integration of belief with behavior. You say you believe things, and yet your behavior would indicate you've never heard of it. We've got to integrate our belief with our behavior. It's very important. You have your conscious mind, and you build a belief. And you impress that belief upon your subconscious mind. Now, understand this. There's going to be a bit of a war. How many believe what I've explained here today? See, you believe it because you know it's the truth, and you hear the truth, you know it. You see? There's a problem when we go to execute that, and it's the old controlling belief that's in there. We've been taught to believe that there's certain things we can't do. We've been taught that because of this or because of that, it won't work. I'll give you a good book to get and read. Go and read Up From Slavery by Booker T. Washington. There's a guy that, I mean, he had all the strikes against him, but he had an image, and he just kept going, and he did whatever he did, and he did it well. He's quoted as saying, if I'm washing floors, when people look at it, they're going to know that Booker T. Washington washed this floor. Everything he did, and that's the way we want to do it. We want to do it to the best of our ability, and we want to gain an understanding. The way to do that is to continue to study. So here's the overview of what we've done. Power flows in. Number one, we build an image. Number two, we plant that image in our subconscious mind. That image then is expressed through the only instrument it can be expressed through, our physical body. That is an absolute law. It is an absolute law. The image you impress upon your subconscious controls your vibration, and your vibration controls what you attract into your life. And you're attracting stuff into your life. Everything that's coming into your life, you're attracting. So don't be afraid to step out. Maslow said you're either going to step forward into growth or you're going to step back into safety. See? When we talk about the science of getting rich, we want to understand there is science to getting rich. I want to tell you a story. I was flying to Malaysia, and I was playing with the calculator. I always play on a plane with words or numbers. Now, if you go to Kuala Lumpur from Toronto, it's 25 hours in the air. That's a long ride. If you go any further, you're coming back. So, you know, you've got quite a trip that you're taking. Well, at any rate, I'm on the plane, and I'm fooling around, and I write $1 million down, just one and six zeros. I thought, $1 million. And I had earned $1 million. I had earned $1 million a year a long time ago. And I know a lot of people that have earned $1 million, and most of them are not overly bright, you know? And there's some of them who are absolutely brilliant, but they're not all that bright. And where I may be fairly bright today, but relative to where I was, man, I'm telling you, I was one of the stupidest guys in town, but I was earning all this money. So it has nothing to do with being bright or anything like that. It's a decision. And so I'm on the plane, and I'm thinking, what do these people do? And I started to think about the people that earn $1 million. What do they do that is so different? Well, first of all, they just decide they're going to do it. And then they step out and do it. And they come from all different walks of life. But all the ones that I knew that did it are all locked into this. Michael and I were talking. We were talking about people being seminar junkies. And I said, you know, I've been a seminar junkie for 40-some years. And I wouldn't want to be any other way. I feel sorry for the people that are not. Because, you see, that is a very crude way of saying that a person's really into the development of themselves. Well, I took a look at the people that earned the money, and I thought every one of them, without exception, are really locked into studying. They never stop studying. They have just magnificent libraries of CDs and now DVDs and cassettes. I've got it right back to the records and the old record players. I've got them all. I've kept them all. The record player they used to drive around with in Vic Conant's office in Chicago, I took it down and gave it to him one day. But, you know, I thought, we should teach people to earn $1 million. And so when I got off the plane, now this is way back 1990, I got off the plane and I got on the phone. And I phoned Mark Victor Hansen, and then I phoned Val Vandewall, who's gone now. And I mean, it was the middle of the night here, but I wasn't thinking of that. It was, the clock had turned around. And I got them out of bed, but I got excited, and I was telling them what I was going to do, and they said, geez, it's a great idea. So there was a bunch of us. There was Jack Canfield and Mark Victor and Vandewall and Lee Poos, and there was a group of us, and we put together a program, and we taught it in Hawaii, and we were teaching people to earn more money. Now, we knew how to earn it, and we were teaching the other people how to earn it. And one of the things we were teaching them is you got to lock in to study. You got to study every day. We eat every day, we wash ourselves every day, we get dressed every day. There's certain things we do every day that's religious. You've got to study every day. You've got to allocate a part of your income and a part of your time to your own development. And that was part of the lesson. And they all knew that we did. I mean, take that that Think and Grow Rich book. I mean, I read that every day. So at any rate, we started, and Jack and Mark come up with an idea, and they said, Proctor, we're going to do a book. And we had brainstorming sessions going, and they said, you got lots of stories, give us some stories. And he said, we're going to write a book. And there was a gal there, Cindy Spitzer. I remember, I don't know if she ever got credit for this, but she was from over on the East Coast around Philadelphia somewhere. And she said, you should call that Chicken Soup for the Soul. And so they're going to write 101 stories, and then we're going to pack it and sell it. And I said, that's a pretty cool idea. And Mark said, we're going to sell 50 million before the turn of the century. And I'm thinking, well, you know, I'm a pretty good thinker, but that seems like a little far out to me. I mean, if you sell $1 million, you're doing pretty good, but 50 million, and you're going to do it before the turn of the century? Well, they didn't sell 50 million, they sold 74 million. And it was considered the publishing phenomena of the decade. Now, get this, they didn't write anything. They never wrote any books, none. They had other people writing the stories, sending them in. They had somebody else collating, somebody else editing, somebody else publishing, somebody else selling, and they got the money. You know why? It was their idea. Now, this came about It's called intellectual property, and it came about because they study and they expanded their mind. And that's what you're doing here. Now, we said that most people are extras in their own movie. You're no different than Mark or Jack or Bob or Lee or anybody else. You're exactly the same as them. And what you want to do is make up your mind when you go home, you're going to lock in and you're going to get your chicken soup concept. You know that 66% of what I've said you'll have forgotten by tomorrow morning? 90 to 100% of it will be gone within a month. But if you keep repetition, if you keep programming it into your mind, you're going to find that you'll start to do it. That's what the actors do. I know a number of actors, pretty big names. And you know something? They're ordinary folks just like you and me. But they become great actors because they program the script into their mind until they become the script. And that's what you want to do.